Welcome to the next edition of Business Law Focus. Great having you with us. Pleasure to welcome Megan Landers, who's a senior manager at Specialist Tax Advisors AJM. Megan, welcome to the show. Great having you with us.
Thank you very much, Evan. Great to be here.
So, a story that hit the news, I know it was about a month ago we got the news, but it's still, you know, we haven't really had follow-ups on this issue as to, you know, how do we get a resolution? It's obviously become a bit of a challenge for SARS when you have this massive influencer-driven economy, social media influencers, of course. And, I mean, it's a bit of a problem when you have a lot of guys that may have a day job, and then they start becoming an influencer, and they neglect to declare that income, right? Is that a problem? Because I know SARS sent out a press release to actually unpack exactly how they need to declare that income.
So, Evan, I think SARS took the correct approach, because SARS is trying to educate taxpayers and remind them that they still need to maintain their tax compliance, regardless of who they are, and that your hobbies, to the extent that you earn an income from them, like many influencers are now shifting towards, it's important to declare all income, whether it's earning. It's important to still maintain tax compliance.
Yeah, and of course, a lot of these influencers are treating their platforms as a full-time career now. They position themselves as entrepreneurs. You know, they can be classified as sole proprietors or even independent contractors. And that's like, you know, now a formal industry, which I would imagine, you know, is bringing in a lot of money for, I mean, I've seen some of these numbers. I mean, these numbers are huge just for one influencer contract. I mean, you can easily get $1 million for that. And $1 million plus, and it depends on how, you know, obviously how big your name is, as it were. And these numbers are becoming enormous, right? But, you know, that platform that they're using is becoming a full-time career, which then brings in a whole lot of other legal requirements, right?
Exactly. And what these influence, they are now becoming new advertisers for the industry. They are, and that's how they should see it. They are running a business. They are providing a service to various companies by their authenticity, their creativity and connection to their followers. So yes, you are now earning an income that must be declared.
And in that release that SARS sent, I mean, let's just unpack what they spoke about. You know, is obviously South Africa has a residence-based tax system, which means that, you know, you're taxed on your worldwide income. But, you know, if you receive any amount, really, in cash or otherwise, it falls into your gross income. And, you know, you obviously then have to declare that. But then there's also exclusions, exemptions that come into play there. But it's maybe unpack how SARS speaks to that. You know, what do you have to include in gross income?
So if I can use an example to explain it, many of us watch, I don't know if you follow any social media influencers.
TikTok is big, yes.
They are doing these review of products. So yeah. Companies send them a new facial range where they need to use, and they review them with the idea of advertising these products, giving their opinion and influencing decisions to purchase, influencing their followers to purchase these products. So they're advertising it. Sometimes they are paid by the companies providing them with these products, or paid in cash. If you are paid with the product or the service that the company provides, that is considered a form of income, potentially income in kind rather than cash. And the value of those products or services that you receive for promoting this the new facial range would be included in your taxable income, and you could be taxed on it. subject, like you mentioned or alluded to, are subject to certain exclusions and exemptions. Another example to consider is companies send these PR packages to existing influencers that they worked with, not with the intention of finding a new contract, but it's merely a means to say thank you to them for remaining valued to us. And these PR packages contain a wide range of new products. And again, these influencers are promoting it on social media, again, influencing their following to purchase these products, and sales of the companies increase. And SARS, it would be difficult to argue to SARS then that that PR package was not payment for advertising, given the fact that you've worked with the company on a regular basis before. So it's important that for a gift to be truly a gift, there must be no return, no reciprocity between the two parties. Yes. The influence must doing it willingly without the expectation of receiving a product, or the company not expecting to receive free advertising.
Yeah, that's a very interesting one, because that's the element that I actually prefer YouTube, to be honest, not TikTok in my world. And I get a lot of golf ones because I'm interested in, you know, whatever your interests are. That algorithm on YouTube is brilliant, but then you get a lot of these coming up and the unpacking, but then you also get guys who don't want to be just beholden to one brand, right? What you see is yes. guys promoting more than one, and they may just promote something themselves, right? They may actually, and sometimes they get that free club afterwards, not even before, right? Would that also fall in income?
That could also perform into potential income. It's at the end of the day, if you are unable to, the onus is on the taxpayer to prove whether or not an amount should be included or excluded from their taxable income. And if you cannot prove to SARS that you were doing this for free, it could be difficult.
Of course, you have a lot of youngsters as well, right? Young people. I mean, is that something you're noticing, that there's more, probably internationally, but in South Africa, a lot of children are making, you know, some of them are making money, and they've got these business concepts. Is that an area to watch? I know SARS didn't specifically mention it in their release.
I think definitely it's younger entrepreneurs that we see coming through, because they are looking for a sideline, extra income. For them. So yes, definitely younger, and I think that is why SARS is making these media statements to educate taxpayers, to remind them that just because you are not an employee of a company and POI is not being deducted from your salary, does not mean that you are not required to pay tax. You still need to declare your income, regardless of your age.
Great. And of course, some of this gets quite technical, and you know, the famous canard, and everyone who's studied law, of course, is you know, expenses of a capital, or you know, expenses or expenditure or capital nature of the you know, of the income. And you have to be quite careful there, because if it's of a capital nature in the production of income, you can deduct certain business expenses, but on the other side of the equation, you know, you have to be careful of, you know, non-tax deductible expenditure. So, I mean, I mean, we know those are kind of tax deductible, would then include rental, salaries, things like that, telephone. But a good example would probably just be the cost of the cell phone. Then would be viewed of a capital nature, not necessarily the data that you bought or the software on the computer relative to the computer, right? So those still apply, and I think we understand all of those. But what are the other kind of obligations from a tax compliance perspective?
So from a tax compliance perspective, it's because they are now entrepreneurs, they're running a business. For them to firstly, they need to register for tax if they're not already registered for tax. For SARS, they need to file the annual tax returns. We've just came out of the initial filing season for non-provisional taxpayers, which closed on the 20th of October. So they need to file the annual tax returns and declare all income from brand collaboration, sponsored content, and affiliated marketing, whether they are paid in cash or products or services, and to the extent that they are able to claim those related expenses related to their business so that they can limit their tax liability. Then also, to the extent required, they should also register for a provisional tax. And provisional tax is not an additional tax. It's merely a means for taxpayers to pay their tax liabilities in advance every 6 months, which is at the end of August and then again at the end of February. And it's to limit that hefty tax bill as soon as they are assessed by SARS. So yeah, that's the initial or primary compliance matters to take into account. I don't know if you want me to speak further regarding VAT and PAYE obligations potentially.
Yeah, I think VAT obviously over R1 million, right? I think that is kind of understood, and it would definitely apply there if that's the case. And I believe you have to obviously, you have to be carrying on an enterprise according to the definition. So I think that could apply. But maybe on PAYE, how would that work?
So notably, these influencers are starting to employ assistants to help them manage their day-to-day operations. They are employing videographers to shoot, editors to produce and edit their posts, managers to help them manage, like agents to help them manage their day-to-day. And when you employ someone, you have the obligation as an employer to withhold PAYE, employees tax, and they may need to register for employees tax as well to withhold any PAYE from the remuneration they pay to the employees. Also, something that they might not think of is UIF and SDL. Every employer is required to register for UIF and contribute towards the fund if they employ staff in South Africa for more than 24 hours per month. And the monthly contribution is 2% or capped at 17,712 per month per employee.
Brilliant.
SDL is also something that they may need to pay to the extent that their total remuneration exceeds 500,000 per year that they pay to employees. So yes.
Well, Megan, building a career as an influencer certainly comes with creative freedom, but what you've unpacked in really, great detail and explained it exceptionally well, also a lot of financial responsibility. And I think when that last element gets forgotten, then it kind of holds back the ability of the influencers to actually, do what they love. So really, thanks very much for unpacking it. I think we need to ensure that, if you are making this extra income, and it applies to everyone really, that you need to make sure that you abide by, the rules. Otherwise, you're going to get a nasty surprise down the line. So, Megan, thanks very much. Great having you with us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.